If you would bow your heads with me, dear God, we come to you now, and we just ask that you just allow us to hear your word, the message that you have prepared for each and every one of us. Dear Lord, allow us to hear it, hear the truth, and dear Lord, allow us to apply it to our lives so that we can go out and that you can live through us. That's our prayer, dear Lord, that we become an instrument, that you live through us, dear Lord, and others may come to see us, see you through us, and to meet you through us, and that we may be your witness here as we have all been called to do. And we do it in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We're going to continue on through the Living in a Balanced Life series that we have been going through. And we've hit some pretty highlights and some pretty powerful things in our lives and impactful things. But today I want to talk to you a little bit about something that kind of gets lost. And we kind of hit the same theme on Easter Sunday. Easter, we talked about, resurrection and what it means and how impactful that was and how important it is to our spiritual life and to our salvation that Christ has bestowed upon us as believers. But then we kind of ask the question, is it just about going to heaven and receiving salvation, or is there something else involved there? We talked about how Easter should be an everyday type thing and how we should become ministers through that. So today I want to hit a little bit about a topic. I guess it's a boring topic. It's a mundane topic, right? So I'm going to talk to you about how to live and how to glorify God in the everyday mundane living. Okay, mundane has the definition of mundane is to be something that's not interesting, work a day, everyday type thing. And then as you look in through kind of the biblical definition of it, it starts talking about things of worldly ideas and not able to have spiritual or eternal realm or implications to it. So I think sometimes what happens in our spiritual lives is the same thing that kind of happens in our everyday living. And sometimes our spiritual lives reflect our everyday living, of course. All right. And I think what we tend to do is kind of miss the boat, miss the idea about what it is that we're actually here to do. Okay. And what are we called to do? And what truly is life about? All right. Because we hit these ideas, these ideals about, yes, we should glorify God and everything in our living, and God is the preeminent thing in our lives. But then when sometimes we reflect on our lives and our daily living, sometimes we go through it and it seems like, yeah, not so much. Okay, that's not working out for us so good. So let me, a couple weeks ago, it was the Saturday or the Friday, one day before Easter that week. I kind of lost that week, tell you the truth. But I think it was the Friday before Easter, I did a funeral for a guy. And he had worked for the same employer his entire life, 40 plus years. And that's something you don't just hear about anymore. All right? And the owner of the company that he worked for came and spoke at his funeral. And he's the second generation of that company. And he talked about the loyalty and the pride that he had in his work. And, the way that he showed up each and every day, the effort that he put in, and the way that every job was as important as the next job. All right? You may be asking yourself, well, what was he doing? It doesn't really matter, okay? Because if you're the janitor like my grandpa was, or you're a brain surgeon or whatever, to get up and go do the same job in the same place every day, that can be tough sometimes. And what happens is we kind of get into like a routine. And sometimes we get into a comfortable routine. And then sometimes we get into this routine to where it actually appears to be boring. And we kind of like start to, look over stuff, go past stuff. And that's when things can kind of get us in trouble. And then also we are missing, and this is the point of the message today. We're missing a critical element in our living. All right. So I want to talk to you this morning about the glory that should be found in the mundane. Okay? The things that the everyday things, the boring things, there is glory to God that should come out of each and every one of those things. Because I think what happens is we have become people who are looking for the home run. All right? A lot of coaches nowadays teach kids how to swing, and it doesn't matter their body type or whatever. They all teach the same swing. It's the step back, lean back, get your hips through, hit the ball upwards, because they're hitting home runs. That's what they're teaching them, how to hit a home run. All right? Somebody's got to be on base. Somebody's got to score. Somebody's got to get a base hit. So the guys who get base hits and come around and score, those are the guys going to win the most games for you. The guy who hits a home run, you know, if he has a great year, 40 times a year, awesome. And what I think in our spiritual life is, what we're doing is that unless you have like been called to a ministry that's pretty public or that gets some exposure, sometimes we think, well, I'm not just, you know, I'm not called for that. I'm not called to be a minister, so I don't have to get up every Sunday and talk. Or I'm not called, you know, I'm not a singer, I'm not anything like that. So, you know, I'm just kind of the person who sits in the pew, and that's just kind of my thing. Listen, there is glory that has to come out of your everyday living. It has to happen. And I think sometimes even people who are in the ministry, the mundane is where we fail. And I'm not saying that you're doing anything wrong in the mundane. What I'm saying is that we're not bringing out the glory of God in our everyday, workaday, mundane living. And it should be brought out. All right? So let's look at it. I'm going to be out of Colossians 3, very impactful chapter. All right? This is my preface. These first four verses are my preface because I want you to understand the groundwork that he's laying there. All right? And he has presented this idea back in chapter 2 about, you know, if you accept Jesus' sacrifice at Calvary, then you are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. All right? At that point, you know, you are what is called regenerated. You're made a new creature, a new man is how he refers to it. And you are changed. Your DNA is changed. Your spiritual DNA is changed, all right? You will continue to be covered in your flesh and in your sins. But what he talks about is, and he gives the idea in baptism, is that, you know, what once was dead, like Jesus Christ on the cross, gets buried in a water grave or in a tomb. And then because he's God, Jesus arose from the dead. That's what we celebrated on Easter. And because we are Christians, we also arise. Because we have been buried with Christ means that we will be resurrected with Christ as new creature, as a new man. So that's the idea being presented there. And it says, if you were raised with Christ. So if you have been regenerated, sanctified, received atonement, bestowed the Holy Spirit, okay, then it says that after that point, now there has to be, and this is sometimes where we kind of miss the boat, because a lot of times, you know, we make salvation so easy, and it is. Okay? It's a free gift. You just got to accept it. But then after that, sometimes we get this idea that, you know, I don't have to try anymore because I've been saved, and, you know, God will forgive me. That's kind of where we miss the boat, or we misread what's being asked of us here, because very clearly says that once you have been raised with Christ, once you have received salvation and eternal life, then you should be changed. You should be a regenerated person, made new. Now you have an obligation. You have a mandate from the person or the God who gave you salvation. And that is to seek the things which are above. That means seek things eternally. Seek things of heavenly realm. Seek things of heaven, eternal life. All right, you got it? Now, if you remember what we said, the definition of mundane is, we've actually described the anti-definition of mundane, right? Because mundane was boring, of no interest in things of this earth, not spiritual. And now he's saying, seek things which are of above. All right? So he's taken what was once dead, and now he has buried it and resurrected us into something that is alive. And now he's asking, in your everyday living, in the things of this world that are mundane to us, workaday, I'm asking you, now that you are a regenerated being, now that you have received the Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to start seeking heavenly things and the mundane things of this world. So when we go about our daily living, and when we go about the things that we do each and every day, and sometimes they, have you ever been, I used to drive a lot, have you ever driven and like ask yourself, sometimes I would get like to Broughton and I would ask myself like, did I stop in McLeansboro at that, or did I just go through? You ever think about that? Like you were in a zone and you're just thinking, you travel that road all the time. You know, it just like the car could go itself. It's like this car drove itself and I don't even own a Tesla. All right. So sometimes we get into the routine of things and it's like, did I even stop, or, did I take my pills today? I don't know. And then you're like, well, do I need to take more or just wait, go through that anxiety, that part of the day. Okay. And it's because it's so routine to us. And we get in. You understand where I'm trying to get you to? Okay? So, seek heavenly things. He's asking us, he's giving us a job. And the job is that, hey, I'm going to ask you to seek spiritually eternal things, heavenly things. But you're still going to be living a life that is full of mundane things. Okay? Some days you might pray for your life to get a little mundane, right? It's so chaotic and busy. And it says, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. So now we're talking about, he's asking us in our everyday, workaday, mundane living to start looking and start setting our eyes up at Jesus Christ who's sitting in heaven. Set your mind on things above. That's the directive. You have to change your mind. We talked a lot here about mindset. You have to have the proper mindset. So when you wake up in the morning, what's the first job you got to do? Say the prayer of being emptied of you. Get rid of Aaron. Get rid of all that nastiness, all the selfishness, everything, the brokenness. Get rid of all that. Be an empty vessel so I can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's our job. And that is what is being taught here, is you have to set your mind. All right? Your day may be just, one thing after the other, and it's the exact same schedule every single day, right? You could probably do it in your sleep, and if you're honest with yourself, sometimes you probably are mentally asleep doing it, but he's asking, you have to have a mindset that is able to seek eternal things, even in this life where it's mundane. For you have died, and your life was hidden in Christ with God. When Christ, who in our life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. All right? So there is the reasoning, is that we are here in this life to reflect that we no longer live for ourselves, and our lives are not the old lives, but we are living in Christ. So we should present a life that glorifies Jesus Christ, even if it's filled with mundane activities. All right? So there's the underlying thing. Now we skip over to verse 12, and we're going to start looking at the application of what's this mean? What are you talking about? How can I make a life that's boring and that has just mundane things going on all day? What am I supposed to do here? Okay. So it says, therefore, as the elect of God, as those who are regenerated and made new, holy and beloved, put on, look at it, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. All right, so we are asked to set our mind and understand that Even in the mundane activities, we are to present these qualities. And what we know about these qualities is, these qualities are, which one is it? Either way, okay? The important thing about these qualities, they form relationships. So our relationship with Jesus Christ has been made possible by His tender mercies towards us. Amen? Huh? Has He not shown mercy to us? I mean, has anybody here gotten what they deserve? I remember one time Brandon and Kelly were cheating me and Brock at wiffle ball. It's the only way they could beat us. And I was so upset, and I went in, and I had been inside to Mamma 3 or 4 times, and she probably had 47 kids she was taking care of that day. And she looked at, I'll never forget, she looked at me and said, "Honey, what do you want?" And I said, "I just want what I deserve." She said, "No, you don't." And I was, she hurt my feelings, but, you know, years later, I know what you mean. Okay? Nobody wants what they deserve in this life. But because of the tender mercies of Jesus Christ, we don't have to get them. And He's a kind God. Amen? He is a kind God. He's a loving God. And He shows great humility. In fact, humility is what powered Him to the cross. His ability to put aside His powers and His the liberties and all the rights that He had as God the Son. And then it talks about the meekness. All right. So many times in this world, meek being meek is a negative. All right. But this is a active verb. This meekness. And this is not someone who is soft, but someone who is willing to show mercy and grace to those who don't deserve it, don't want it, will never ask for it. But because of our love, we still offer it. And long-suffering is the perfect word to sum up patience. And does God have patience with us? Amen. So, here's the thing that we really need to understand is that we are being asked to be people of impact even in the mundane activities of this world. And the way that you do that is when you are in the mundane things and activities of this world, you have to show the relationship, the qualities of Jesus Christ. And here's something that I'll offer you, okay? You ever get interrupted in the day? Anybody get interrupted all the time? And what usually is your, if you don't say it outwardly, what usually is your expression when you get interrupted in the middle of something? Right? Or your kid comes to you, and you're like, "What?" Okay? I mean, the interruptions are what can just drive you, push you over the edge, right? Here's what I'm going to present to you this morning, is that in the middle of a life that can get mundane, I'm going to ask you to pray for some interruptions. You understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes the interruptions can equal into some of the most impactful conversations, the most impactful teaching moments that we can have. Because a lot of times what happens is, I got told one time by a guy that I worked with, he's like, if you don't ever want to be bothered and people just want to love you at your job, you kind of like get like a halfway mad look on your face. And it looks like you're busy and no one will interrupt you. He's like, you'll have a perfect day. So you kind of walk around like this all day and like, don't bother him. He's busy. He's always, okay. But here's what I'm saying to you is that sometimes the interruptions in your life can be the most impactful moments. And I'm going to ask you to pray for some of those. All right? Do they drive you crazy? Yeah. But pray for some interruptions in your life. Because what usually happens is someone says, "Well, I didn't want to get you. I thought you were busy or you looked busy or something." And then it never gets said and just gets lost. And wouldn't you hate one of the most impactful opportunities in your life with someone that you love dearly to be lost because they thought you were too busy? or they didn't want to feel the wrath of interrupting you. All right? So, relationships, listen, this is the bottom line here on this point. Relationships are built in the mundane. You understand what I'm saying? So many times we talk about the crescendo moments. You know, this magic moment. That's the, you know, it plays in the background when those things happen. Those are the moments I'm talking about. Here is the truth of living according to the Bible, is that in the everyday, ordinary, not interesting, mundane parts of your life, that is where we truly build relationships. Okay? It's easy to be excited in the high points. All right? But in the everyday moments, that's where relationships are built. Okay? And we can have glorious impact that comes out of the very boring, everyday, mundane activities of our lives. It says, we should, and we spoke about this earlier, bear one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also must you do. So here's what we are talking about, is that in the everyday living and in the workaday activities, we still have to show the glory of God. And how that comes out is that we do big things in our everyday living. And here's what I mean, all right? If you've ever had a fight with someone, with your spouse or a child or something, there's that awkward time period where you get kind of where you say, I'm sorry, and you kind of hug up, all right? But you may have been mad at each other for a while over here, and now you've got this kind of relationship that has been hurt by it, and now you've kind of looked at each other weird, and you're not open, you're not laughing, and there's that moment after you've made up where they kind of cut a joke, and then you're like, should I laugh at that joke? Am I ready to laugh at that joke? Am I ready to show them? You know, understand what I'm saying here? I mean, like, is it too soon for me to laugh at her joke? Like, you know, as soon as me and Arianne start after we make up, I start throwing out jokes about the 20th one. She'll go like that. I'm like, all right, I'm good again. Okay, but there's that moment there. There's that time period there where there's this awkwardness that happens. All right, and what can happen is, and this is what I'm trying to say to you, is what can happen is that if you're not careful, you just turn around and start back into the workaday, non-interesting activities of your life. And you know what you're doing? You're filling the gap. So instead of getting to this, what we talked about in the previous verse, where you show things of Christ and you start truly living, we still have this activity here, or this weird relationship where we don't know if we're, you know, is it too soon? Am I being weak? Am I forgiving too fast? And what God says is that all of your activities, even in the everyday things, should show the very thing that God shows to us. And it is forgiving, complete forgiving, unconditional love. And that can be hard to do. And what I'm suggesting is that the Bible is telling us that in your everyday living, make sure that you are projecting the stuff of Christ. It says set your mind on these things. And you have to be, and this can be hard to understand when you first hear it, but you have to live an encouraging lifestyle, even when you're doing the boring routine things of your day. You hear what I'm saying? Ruby Rash, you ever have one of her cakes? My goodness. It's like a cake brought down from heaven, right? And I asked her one time, I said, Ruby, what's the secret to your cakes? And she's like, I don't know. She goes, the only thing I can think of, and this is what she said, every time I bake a cake, before it goes out the door and it's given away, she said a prayer over that cake. Okay? Now, let me ask you, how many times have you made dinner with a little bit of hate in your heart? Huh? I'm just going to say this, and she's going to watch it here in a little bit, but Ariane is the loudest human being to ever step foot in a kitchen. The only one who compares to her is her mother-in-law, or my mother-in-law, Pizzi, her mom. I mean, she slams cabinets and drawers and pans, and I always think it's because she's afraid I might actually be taking a nap somewhere, and she's going to keep me up. Well, I mean, it's like, if I'm cooking, you're up too, bro, all right? And I feel a little bit of hate in the recipe. Like, add a splash of hate, and she's like, feel a little bit more in there, right? How many times have you, someone comes in and says, hey, something on the car, you know, and then you go in and you fix it with a little bit of hate in your heart. All right, here's, and I'm preaching to Aaron P. today. You just get to watch it, all right? But here's the thing. If we do the mundane for glorious reasons, then think about when we do the big things, how much glory could come out of that. And then we don't allow the mundane to be a destroyer, to be the thing that can lead to relationships breaking away, falling apart, all right? So we have to live a life that reflects the very way that Christ deals with us, and that is patiently, with love. He has forgiven us. He has given atonement to us. He's not bringing that back. We are separated as far as the east is from the west from that, okay? And it's time that we are capable of doing that. And in the mundane, in the everyday things, the boring things of this life, you have to do it like you're building each other up. Because, in fact, you are, all right? And then, if we do the everyday things correctly, according to what the Bible teaches us and what it says for us to do, then, actually, what can happen is that out of these things, what can be projected and what can come out of this is that your relationship gets to a point and your relationship is where you are truly loving. And even in the very boring things of this life, you still are projecting and showing and feeling love. If you do these things right, if you set your mind right, if you truly understand where you're supposed to be, if you do the things, the very boring things for one another with the idea that this is me showing you that I love you. My grandpa worked at the same bank for 65 years, and he went each and every day. And the only time he ever took off was when he had a heart attack and my grandmother died. That's the only time other than vacation time or earned time. Never missed a day. Got his teeth knocked out one day. He came back. The dentist said, we won't be able to get your teeth fixed for 3 days. And he just wadded some stuff in and went back to work. Okay? And you know, I often think of that, but I think he knew that the way that he could show his family how much he loved them was by going to work each and every day and taking as much class and having so much pride about that job. And that was a mundane job in the terms of the world. But he did it. I mean, he swept the streets. You understand that? In downtown El Dorado, he swept the streets. And I often think about the Martin Luther King speech. If you're going to be a street sweeper, sweep for the glory of God. And that's what we're talking about here, is that, you know, even in the mundane things, even in the down times in your relationship, you know, if you're going to just sit there in silence for the glory of God. Okay? And if you're going to have a nice little drive and you don't, you know, and you have the comfortable silence, enjoy it. That you have someone you can just be with and you don't have to fill it up with, you know, chit-chat and stuff. And when there is times that you have to forgive, forgive. All right? And then show that in the everyday living. the way that you treat each other, the way that you do things. Because I think too many times we're looking for just home runs. Well, I hit a home run a couple weeks ago. Yeah, but you haven't done anything since then. Right? And I'm not feeling the love. The home run was awesome, but I'm not feeling the love. And then that relationship can die. Your relationship with Christ can suffer because we just keep telling him, well, you remember 2 weeks ago I hit a home run for you? Or 2 weeks ago I hit a three-pointer? Okay, at the buzzer? Yeah, but, you know, we need you to show true Christian love, true Christian relationships in the boring. Because then, when the big things hit, the glory of God will be so projected. And in fact, what it says here is that love is such a powerful thing. It is God. The Bible says God is love. All right? It is a bond of perfection. So if you want things to get stronger, if you want things to get have a bond around it that is, you know, perfect, wrap it up in love, Christian love. It'll never let you down. And we get unity that can happen by doing all this. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. So the outcome of this, if you can do all the stuff through the mundane, through the uninteresting, we can provide unity. And then when the big things hit and they're not good things, then we can survive because we have done the good work during the boring. Make sense to you? And then what we are talking about here is that in our everyday living, sometimes we feel like, you can feel like, you are not called to do much. Okay, you don't have a overreaching ministry. You don't have a impactful ministry. All right, but let me say that there are people in every organization. There are people in every family. There are people in every kind of relationship that do the stuff nobody sees. But it can't happen without them. Like those guys up there that run the sound and project it out to people. And okay? We couldn't do it without them. Somebody comes in here and sweeps and cleans and gets it ready, right? Picks up trash and cleans bathrooms. Somebody does that. Somebody cleans the parking lot. Sometimes somebody gets the ice off the parking lot. Some people do it, and you know what we say? I've had people come and do big things like that, and they say, hey, do not announce my name. Whatever you do, do not announce my name. I'll be upset if you do. They don't want the credit for it. All right? And what the Bible is projecting here is that let the word of Christ dwell in you with all of its wisdom and all of its admonishing when it teaches you, when it's telling you don't do this, or you need to correct this, or you need to make this right, all right? And then our living can be as a hymn or a song, and you know what that's calling it? Beautiful words in perfect harmony, okay? That's what's happening here. That's the description of what can happen to your relationships if you do these things. That it would be like a psalm or a hymn being sung to perfect music in perfect harmony. And then with that singing is projected the grace of God. The glory of God comes out of that. And we become simple people of flesh and blood, and we are made into temples that project the glory of God. And that's what is happening here. If you do it correctly, you can make your everyday boring living and you create yourself into a temple that projects the Word of God. And then here's the underlying statement is that in whatever you do in word or deed, the boring, the exciting, the outward, the inward, everything, the mundane of this life, you have to do it giving all thanks in God the Father that we are saved through Him when we receive salvation through Him. So we are asked to serve and to glorify God in the boring, right? This is a sermon that in a topic that doesn't get talked about a lot, but I really feel like a lot of us are missing the balance in our lives, and we're really missing some critical opportunities because we are a big event people. All right, we celebrate birthdays, and then the next day, you're forgotten, right? Okay, you have your anniversary, and the next day, it's just back to the old grindstone, ball and chain, that kind of thing, okay? And what this is saying is that every day is a blessing. Every moment is an opportunity. Even the boring, you're asked to serve, and serve in a way, and do it in a way that the people around you see Jesus Christ. That's a lot to ask, isn't it? And how do you do it? Be empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for tuning in to Star Church's sermon. We truly hope that the sermon edified you today and brought you closer to the Lord. For more information about Star Church, visit our website at stargbchurch.com. Once again, that's stargbchurch.com. And if you would like to visit our church, our address is 4925 State Road 142, El Dorado, Illinois, 62930. We now pray that God will bless you as you enter the mission field and bring His word to the world. And as always, we will see you next time here at Star Church.